Welcome to Love Quirks, the relationship and love podcast about sparking your connections and understanding the big picture of love. If you're neurospicy, kind of quirky, or just a regular old human wanting to spark your relationships with more connection, more love, more acceptance, and more understanding, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Crystal Clark. Join my quirky crew on your journey to being sparked forever, because no one is normal and all love quirks. Welcome to our love space today. I'm here out on the rainy West Coast, recording in the drizzle. So if you are listening from a drizzly, rainy place, hopefully you are all snugged up like I am. If not, and you're enjoying from a wonderful sunny patio or out having a walk, then I am very jealous right now of your sunny good fortunes. This week, I had such a wonderful, interesting breakthrough with one of the lovely couples I work with. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And this actually, I think, is going to be a two-parter. It could even jump into a three-parter, depending how deep we dive in. But so the couple I was working with this week, we're really working on honing their communication skills with each other. So they're already starting to get the big picture of communication and sort of where some of their miscommunications are coming from, but we kind of still keep hitting this brick wall with things. So we were, you know, diving into some things, and this is why I love the model that we work on here, more of the coaching model rather than the counseling model, because it allows us to dive into some paths and then see how we're going to get some forward motion in these. So I just love it because there is questions I can ask you that are going to unlock surprises that you didn't know were there and I didn't know were there. Surprise. And now we can go down, dive into those explorations. So exciting to me. So let me start by putting out a few. So they came across something interesting. Okay. So that's, I'm not sure if I passed that on. We came across something interesting. Now, before I let you know what the interesting surprise was that we uncovered, let me put out a few kind of questions, a few scenarios to you and see where we go with this. And this is so that you can dive in on your end too. A participatory episode. There we go. So my two big questions are, what are the things that drive you in life? What is that one aspect, that sort of thing that you kind of are basing a lot of your decisions around? What is that thing that's driving you to make certain choices? Okay, so I'll give you now my scenarios. Those are my two big questions. Let's take those and let them just sit in the back, ruminate back there while we think about these scenarios. So if you were at work, and your boss asks you to stay late, but you know that this is going to delay or interrupt the start of your mega moment of love, right? Your date night, your mega moment of love and connection. Do you say yes and stay? Okay. If your mom wants to invite all your extended family to your wedding, okay, now here's another scenario. And your partner or your soon-to-be partner, you're already partner, but, signing the paperwork for it, wants a small wedding. Do you feel caught in the middle and stuck between those two things? What if your partner can't drive your kids to dance class tonight? And they tell you that it's more important for you to drive them than going to your own yoga class. Is it? Is it more important? I'm sure I've got a lot of your brains going now. I know if I was sitting back, like I got to think of these scenarios, but if I was sitting back and listening, I know my brain would already be maybe trying to defend one side or the other. I'm sure your brains are already kind of spinning, kind of trying to defend if there's one you think is right or one you think is wrong or whatnot. Okay. If you get an amazing, unexpected tax return, it's kind of that time of year. If you're listening live, So, if you get an unexpected, amazing tax refund and your love of life thinks this is the perfect opportunity to take a trip to Mexico, to unwind together, do you agree? Or is it more important to pay off that credit card? Who's right? If one of your friends wants you to do a girls' trip or a boys' trip, but your budget can only afford to cover one weekend away, are you a bad friend if you decline and instead do a trip with your love of life, with your significant other? Okay, this is the last one. If you, I'm probably getting everyone revved up. So if you're revved up right now, take a deep breath. But if you hate clutter and your love of life is an extreme collector, who is right about how many items get to enter the household and how many items get to stay? Right. Okay. So, these are some big scenarios, big communication things. I'm sure, like I said, that everyone, that you're probably all starting to get pretty prickly. And that's because these situations are really pinpointing. They might resonate with you because maybe you're the collector and that you feel you should have a right to get all of your little tangible things, all of your little possessions in your life. Maybe if you're the person who wants to pay down the credit card, maybe that situation makes you feel prickly. Like, how on earth could someone want to go on vacation? Right? You're probably already jumping ahead to certain facts about why one side or the other side is important. And why is that? Well, it's really bringing out that intensity because these scenarios are actually questioning, for some of you out there, questioning your own self-identity. These questions are actually questioning what you center your life around and kind of what you believe is the most important piece in life, or one of the most important pieces that you're allowing to, I guess, influence your decision and that you're giving more control to or more power to in your life. Right? If I'm questioning what you have built your identity around, okay. If I'm questioning your identity, then I'm also questioning your self-worth because often our self-worth is based on how we identify, what we identify as, right? And if I'm questioning that and I'm hitting at that center for you, and then I'm now telling you that that's wrong, that if you're the person who wants to pay off the credit card, that's wrong. If you're the person who wants to go on vacation, that's wrong. Then I am starting to question that center. And if I make that center for you, that thing that is driving you, if I'm questioning that, then it's going to make it feel wrong or unimportant or not valuable. And if that thing is making up your identity, then you're going to feel like your identity is wrong, unimportant, not valuable. And if you think your identity is that, then your self-esteem, your self-acceptance, your self-love, it's all going to be devalued. It's all going to be questioned. It's going to shake you. It is going to shake you. Now, does anyone feel shook with that? I know when we hit on it in session the other day, it was like, whoa, okay, that did shake us. No one wants to have their sense of self shaken, right? No, that's why we get prickly. Like me, just you might have never even been in any of those scenarios I talked about, but just hearing them, just being a part of the listening to them, it makes us feel prickly because maybe we are que that question something inside us, right? That makes us feel like there is a right or wrong. And so, what do we do when we feel questioned, when we feel shaken? Well, we want to go and defend ourselves. We want to jump in and protect that little bit of sense of self that we have in there, right? That don't question my identity. Don't question my self-worth. Don't question what I base, what I'm centering my life on. Don't question that, right? Then we get defensive and jumpy, and then we have to come up with a list of arguments, right? And then that makes us, when we start to protect ourselves and defend ourselves, then we actually, that stops our communication. We can't be good communicators because now we're almost like, oop, we're stopping the mail coming through. I didn't like those letters I received. I didn't like those emails I got. And so now I'm just not opening up my email for a few days, right? You shut down. And it starts to make you feel like the other person doesn't understand you. Right? How could they not understand that going on vacation is more important than paying off the credit card? How could they not understand that paying off the credit card is more important? How can they not understand these things, right? And that's when those fights and those arguments and those bigger miscommunications and that tug of war, if you are in a relationship right now where you are feeling that tug of war, this may be what we're hitting on today. Right? If you are feeling that push and pull and we just cannot get on the same page and we keep having these arguments, and Crystal has told us that, you know, these arguments like are like an argument is maybe more of a misunderstanding, and a misunderstanding is maybe a miscommunication. And so now we're thinking about communication. Okay. Well, it actually could be something even a little bit deeper than just our communication, right? So that's when those fights and things are going to ramp up, because really we're having a tug of war between centers, right? So what is your center then? What is the center thing, Crystal, that we are talking about, right? It's this thing that influences your decision. So what is that for you? So the general list, if you go and look up like centered people or people-centered ideas, the general list that comes up and that many carry with us. And I feel like, again, big picture wise, probably many things could be slotted into these bigger titles on this list. Some of them, I think, even when I was reading the list, we could maybe put together. But anywho, here we go. So you could be centered around your spouse. You can be centered around yourself. You can be centered around religion, friends, pleasure, possessions, work, money, and family. Those are kind of the big idea ones, right? So which of those do you think you are? Like, I know, and I've actually done some work on this previously, so I know that that I'm a person that tries to move past this, but I am definitely a spouse-centered person. I think you can probably tell from this podcast that I am, you know, in between kind of, I did, friends was also on here, right? So I'm kind of between the spouse and the friends. You know, we could even put that into a bigger picture that I'm socially centered, and that's the most important piece of my life. And let me tell you, it's true. I base most of my decisions on whether it's important to social connection or not, right? And so again, that's not the end all to be all. And not everyone we meet in life is going to have that same center. So if we think about that, I want you to sit and think. I'll go over that list one more time just so you don't have to rewind. So are you spouse-centered, self-centered, religion-centered, friend-centered, pleasure-centered? That would be like the person who's, you know, really looking for fun and things like that, pleasure-centered, possession-centered, work-centered, money-centered, or family-centered. Okay. And again, you know, if you want to get in touch with me to dive into this kind of work more, definitely feel free to do so. Find me on Instagram at sparkedforever or on TikTok at sparked_forever. And feel free to DM me and, you know, we can be in touch for that. So if we hop back to these examples, those scenarios that made us all feel prickly, if you're feeling prickly, let's shake the prickles off, take a deep breath, you know, all those kind of things, because we want to now be active listening. I got you to get those prickles going just so you could see, you know, that it is inside you, this center, but let's brush those off so we can move forward. Okay. So the examples, if we go back to those, you can clearly see now that we have two centers pulling and pushing. So, you know, we have that person with the vacation versus the debt dilemma. Which one of those is right? Well, neither is right. Those are coming from like a pleasure versus money sort of two centers going back and forth and tugging at each other, right? And the one where like, are you willing to postpone date night or maybe cancel it altogether to help support your work or your office, and it might not be for extra money or pay, and it might not even, really improve your standing at work. But if you're a person, you're really doing work versus spouse there, right? So if you have one spouse that is going to be upset about canceling date night because they're spouse-centered and the other person is work-centered, you're going to have a lot of tug-of-wars over that, right? One person's going to seem like a workaholic, and one person's just going to seem never happy with the amount of time you put in, right? We have the wet that wedding example, right? Who is right about how big the wedding list should be? Your soon to be spouse or your mother who wants to have this wonderful family moment? And so that's really someone who is feeling torn because maybe they feel they should be spouse centered, but maybe they're really family centered. And so, they want to, so if they chose the like, yeah, I want to make my mom happy, I want to do the family focused thing. That's where they feel torn on that piece, right? You also have the family versus self one with the example of the should I drive my kids to dance class or should I go to my yoga class, which is part of the self-care time I put aside for myself, right? So again, there's no right or wrong there per se when we think of it big picture. I know you're probably still coming up with arguments in your brains about which one could be right or wrong. But if you are, then say, like, oh, which side am I defending? And how is that important to me? And where have I done that in my life? Because that will actually probably tell you a lot where your center is. And again, same thing with the girls' trip or boys' trip versus, just a couple's weekend away when you have to make those hard decisions. Depending what perspective you're coming from, if you're coming from a friends or social perspective versus a spouse-centered perspective, again, you can argue that both sides are right. It really depends what perspective you are coming from. So you can see in that big picture way how easy it is to have that tug of war, right? So couples where your centers line up. So again, this is like anything that magically accidentally lines up that we met another person in this whole ginormous planet of human beings. And we happen to share the same love language. And maybe we also happen to share the same centers. Okay, well, lucky that couple, right? Or lucky those couples, because they don't have to put as much energy in to figuring out, how we're going to balance this tug of war, how we're going to understand where our center is. That's going to be really the important piece there, right? So if they have the same centers, like if you have two work-centered people, and they're going to be totally fine if someone wants to cancel date night to so that the other per right so that the other person can stay at work and be a great work team player, and the spouse that's at home, right, the significant other that's at home, they might actually even feel excited, happy, feel proud or good about themselves that they were able to contribute, right? If you're super work centered, you even feel happy when you can contribute to other people's work, probably, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I helped you stay at work, right? But if that is not, if you're not both work centered, right? And sometimes we label those people as workaholics, right? Because all of their that is so important to their identity. Their identity is their work. And if they lose that, sometimes, and that's kind of sometimes when we go through the midlife crisis or the big changes in life. Sometimes we lose our identity because we're losing that thing that we have centered so much of our life, our decisions around. If we are a work-centered person and we lose our line of work, we get very confused, right? You would get very confused. You wouldn't know what to do because you've lost your center, you've lost your identity. And then that does, like I said, it affects your self-worth, right? Because if you're measuring yourself on that work piece, you lose your self-worth. Or some of it, right? It gets devalued, it gets lowered, right? Someone questioned it by firing you, or it was questioned by you no longer being able to work in that line of work anymore. That's a big deal. That is heartbreaking, right? So you can see how if it lines up magically, lucky you. If it doesn't line up magically, we can see how there's a tug of war. Now, in part two, we will jump more into like how we kind of change that and set that up. But it's your job to identify your center, right? Or maybe you can even add like this is for maybe the couples who are kind of like pretty good with communication or already sitting down and having, some some in-depth, thoughtful chats with each other, right? Because you don't want anyone to start to get prickly. But this could even be, you might want to even talk about examples of when you guys have seen this or felt this in your relationship, this tug of war piece, and that will help you probably explore and find out which each other's centers are, right? But don't be scared, right? So I know because it makes you feel prickly, it makes you feel like if you're thinking right now, like, oh my gosh, I am pleasure centered, or oh my gosh, I am family centered or friend centered, or I'm this, and it makes you feel embarrassed or uncomfortable because maybe that doesn't feel like what your life should be like or what you thought your life was centered around. That's okay, because remember, what do we love around here? We love vulnerability, right? Over here at Love Quirks in our little love space, we love vulnerability, and you can 100% be vulnerable with yourself right now, and you can say, yes, that's the kind of person I am. Yes, I am centered around that. Now I can see how, when that gets questioned or when there's an opportunity to support that center, that that's the choice I make, right? So again, I use the work choice because it's easiest, and so many of us are, I think, accidentally work centered. If something starts to question your work or question the importance of your day or your checklist or what you have to do for work, then you do get defensive. Right? Or if people question, like your money set, or like, I guess, maybe the choices between your family, there's lots of people where they have a tug of war between having, they feel like they have to choose their family or their spouse. Now, that's probably a situation where you're feeling that pull. You might be more family centered. And you might be trying to consider your spouse as part of your family, but maybe if your spouse is more spouse-centered, they don't need that extra family dynamic that's coming in from extended family or whatnot. I also think, which is not on the list, but I think this would go actually under the family-centered part, is you can be family-centered, like, I totally align with my family, like my mom, my dad, my brothers, sisters, and I give them, first dibs, first attention, whatever. My choice is centered around my connection to that family. You could also be family centered, like with your children, right? Like where children need things for sure, but that your decisions and your choices in life and what you emphasize and what you give your energy to is sort of funneled more towards your children. And that gets hierarchy, that gets like, the top of the hierarchy list, right? And not everyone's like that. And people who do have family at the top, where it's like family, but your own children centered, then most of your life decisions are based on that. You're like, I'm okay to not go to yoga class. I'm okay to not go on vacation. I'm okay to spend all my money towards private school, like whatever choices you're making, because that is influencing your choice setting. Whereas other people be like, oh, no, I would never. If I have to give up vacations to go to have my children go to private school, then that means, that I don't probably have enough money to send them to private school because vacations are really important, right? So again, you can see now how these decisions that people make, just like these everyday choices, really have a deeper context, a deeper center to get to. So again, we're all about being vulnerable here. So tell yourself the truth about your center. If you can't tell yourself, who else are you going to be able to tell, right? And we love vulnerability here. So be vulnerable. Tell yourself. You can even say, like, yep, I'm Crystal the blah. Like, actually, that's a great way to look at it, to fill in that blank part. Right? Yep, I'm Crystal, the person who is amazingly awesome at my job. And that's me, my job. Right? Or you could be like, I'm Crystal, I'm the great bonus mom, and that's my job, and that's 100% my focus of life, right? Or I'm Crystal, who is so good at having fun and party times, and that's 100% me and how I want people to think of me, right? You could go down that list and see what comes up and resonates for you. Because I think that as to get into this part two, where we're going to actually tweak that, you need to know what your center is. is. Okay, so that's what I want you to do before we jump into part two. If you're kind of binging these episodes before you get to this next one, I want you to pause and really try to identify what you think your center is. Even if you're kind of like, oh, I'm sort of torn, right? Or there might be a hierarchy of two or three of these things, right? Then just think of whatever the top one is. Which one would usurp the other ones? Right? Because I think there probably is one, right? If you're like, oh, no, I think it's like family and spouse and work, be like, okay, well, if there was a work decision, which one would I choose? Right? And again, there's all those detail things, but think of this big picture because that will help you hit on it more easily. Okay, so yes, so I want you to really find your center. Then what I think would be fun is to see if your centers are in alignment with each other. If you and your love of life go, check in with your centers and find that you have the same ones, super cool. I think you're going to probably find that they're different. Or you might find like your top ones are the same. So maybe you're both spouse centered, but maybe there's a second one under there that's really quite close. And maybe that's the one where you have the tug of war with. Right? Maybe that one is a friends one versus a family one or a money one, right? That's why people say most people fight about like two or three things, right? But I think we actually fight about more, but it's like kind of what's centering that, what's honing that down, what is giving you your tug of war? So reflect on where those miscommunications are coming from. Because knowing this about you, knowing this about the love of your life, having this understanding of where you guys are both anchored is going to help you stay sparked. Thanks to my quirky crew for sharing this space and your connection time with me once again. It's really, truly appreciated. If you're new here, I hope this time sparked your love and relationship energy too, and that you'll be joining us again. If something sparked you today, connected with you, delighted you, do reach out. Find me on TikTok at sparked_forever or through my website, sparkedforever.com, to get your free copy of Kate Night, your mini guide to making date night sweeter. Don't forget to send some love out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Not only does this send me some love, but it helps others find us on their relationship journey. Until next time, be sparked.